It's Jimbo Times. Hey, what is going on, Los Angeles? It's J.Dot T.Dot, and I hope that you are very well. Today is March 29th, 2024, and that's right. It's almost the end of the month and time to pay that rent yet once again, if you have been fortunate enough to muster up that money. And of course, not all of us have, so actually, let's definitely pay respect to those who have to leave their home at the end of this month or the end of the following month, because those people are very much real and they are very much going through the motions at this time. JT, the LA Storyteller podcast, recognizes that, and we will have more on this front soon, actually. But for now, it is good to be publishing another update with y'all. And I do have a few different updates, as well as something of a segment. Yeah, like we'll do a segment today because we're going to do a little bit of looking back, and what better way to do so than through a segment. But before then, let's just get a few housekeeping items out there and on your radar. So first things first, the team at Making a Neighborhood and I celebrated not one, but 2 years around the sun just this past March. And last weekend, we held our 2 year anniversary party at none other than Bellevue Park. It was a wild success, despite quite a rainy morning. I mean, it rained for a while, and yet about an hour before our event was to start, the rain let up, the sun shone very beautifully, and we held it down. Thank you to everybody who came out and enjoyed some pupusas and cafecito and the vibes with us. And thank you to everyone who helped us organize the space, including Monica Garcia, who held an absolutely stunning healing circle, something that few of us could know we needed as much as we did. And yeah, we'll have photos and a little bit of a summary for that soon. If you haven't yet subscribed to Making a Neighborhood's newsletter, I have made it as easy as I can for you right through the show notes. Just click on the show note with the link to Making a Neighborhood's Substack channel or site page and go from there. It's totally free, and you will get an email about twice a month. And that will have cuentos from yours truly, as well as my friends, colleagues, neighbors, and more. Do it. It's an offer you cannot pass up. If you're not on there already, you have to get on ASAP, because we have more for you in store very soon. Oh, and that's about as good of a segue, we might say, for our second update, which is that Samantha Halu Hernandez and I actually have Redlining, Gentrification, and Housing magazines available for folks through JimboTimes.com. So if you are looking to learn a little bit about these policies and their effects, including ongoing effects in neighborhoods like Virgil Village or East Hollywood, and you want a keepsake for that, then by all means, go ahead and get in touch. Either DM yours truly on Instagram or just visit JimboTimes.com, type in Redlining, Gentrification, and Housing on the search bar there, and lo and behold, we will be sure to send you a copy of this special magazine of ours. I am so happy that we get to make these magazines available for folks out there, because they make for a great gift, not only to either yourself or those who you may be getting a copy to, but it's just another great way to support this type of work by yours truly and that of my peers and colleagues. And it's greatly appreciated every time folks make a purchase out there for these stories in Los Angeles. So once again, you can find the link to that through the show notes. And why not? Okay, that brings me to the third update, which is that elections were held this month after all. And since yours truly spent so much time writing and researching and interviewing folks for that. I definitely needed to take a break from the scene altogether. So it was really a welcome reprieve when I got to put together this podcast with Ebony Tusks, more specifically Martinez Hillard of Ebony Tusks. If you haven't tuned into that episode yet, you can either find it right here on the show catalog, or you can visit YouTube, find Jimbo Times, just like how we usually spell it out there. You'll get to lock into this incredible conversation I have with Martinez Hillard of Ebony Tusks, and I can assure you it'll be worth it. It's a truly heartfelt convo, and it's the first of more to come. I can tell you that much. But with that said, actually, I do want to make note of the fact that JT the LA Storyteller podcast spoke with not one, but two runoff candidates or folks seeking office who have officially made it to November 2024 to compete for their respective offices then. And of course, I'm speaking about none other than Isabel Jurado in Council District 14, who will be facing incumbent Kevin De Leon in a runoff for that district come November, as well as Jillian Burgos, who will be facing Adrian Nazarian to replace Paul Krikorian in Council District 2, or the San Fernando Valley, especially the East San Fernando Valley neighborhoods, in 2025. So kudos to them and their team, all the hard work that they put in, all the doors that they knocked on, all the staff that they were able to gather, and all the volunteers they were able to organize. All of that paid huge dividends in this primary election, and I'm so glad that this podcast got to be a part of the conversation. You can rest assured that we will be catching up with Burgos as well as Jurado in due time, given that we'll need to speak in order to inform more of the voters in their districts as well as the city of Los Angeles altogether. But for now, hats off to these grassroots candidates in the name of our communities. Now, with all that said, I am so happy to move into a segment for you all with respect to the month of March. And that is because I was on JimboTimes.com a couple of weeks ago, and it just so happened to be brought to my attention through the website that on March 25th, 2006, that is 18 years ago now, LA and cities across the United States saw the largest mobilizations in US history ever. And that was with respect to immigrants and immigrant communities all across these cities because of the legislation that was being proposed at that time by the House of Representatives. A truly baffling and infuriating piece of work, but one which we'll say more about in our little segment. So I'm going to play some kind of transitional loop or so and then let you get into the segment. And yeah, it's J.T. T.T. Okay, so let's say that we're in 2006 again and you're a student in high school and there are two wars taking place in Iraq and Afghanistan at this point, and from out of nowhere, you see that the U.S. House of Representatives has actually just passed this draconian bill known as the Border Protection and Anti-Terrorism Illegal Immigration Act, and you understand that its whole purpose is to make felons of communities like the one that you hail from and like that of your parents. Let's say then that given these conditions and what you're looking at through a city like Los Angeles is wholly dissatisfying, and let's say that you band together with a handful of your classmates and you decide to protest, actually. You decide that since there is a strong core of advocates out there and a strong core of organizers who are not going to take bills like H.R. 4437, the draconian bill passed by the U.S. House of Representatives back in 06, standing down. So, given that you're a student and you don't have that much power or that much say in how these things go, what is it that you can do to express your outrage about this? Well, you can walk out. And that is exactly what I did along with my peers from one block to the next in 2006. That's 18 years ago at this point, when I was just about 15 years old. And it was honestly a groundbreaking moment for me personally, because it showed me that after all, even in a city like LA, which even back in 06 was doing its best to shun its immigrant roots, its communities of color, and the contributions that we all collectively made to the city of Los Angeles historically and contemporaneously, it was game-changing to see that though the city wanted to pretend as though we weren't there, the rest of us would be deciding otherwise. The rest of us would be getting together and letting the world know that we stood with our immigrant communities and with communities of color and with workers everywhere, and calling for an end to these unjust wars and calling for the beginning of a new way for not just our communities, but for workers everywhere. And if you weren't there or you didn't get to participate, truly, I hope that you get a chance to do something similar within your lifetime over the course of the rest of the 21st century and with the remainder of the lifetime that you do have, because it's in not just exercising your First Amendment rights or your right to free speech, but it's in seeing others alongside you making noise so as to put pressure on your elected officials and let them know that they work for you and not the other way around. It's in seeing that and really experiencing that that your entire perspective about the possibilities truly changes. And at this point, I'm just about 10 years into the game in Los Angeles as JT the LA Storyteller. So I've spoken with a handful, we might say, to put it lightly, of different organizers out there and different transplants to Los Angeles who have gotten into organizing, who have gotten into prison abolition, who have gotten into the political chess that plays out here, and so on and so forth. And when I asked them about what brought about this or that political awakening, they say a number of different things. And what I tend to hear most often is that a lot of folks started organizing during the days of the Bernie Sanders campaign, for either in 2016, if not in 2020. And while that's cool and all, I really got to take my hats off to those out there in cities like LA or Chicago or New York or even Milwaukee, marching out for immigrants in the United States the way we did back in 06, because to this day in Los Angeles and throughout the United States, those are the largest protests in U.S. history. That's right. By sheer numbers, even 18 years later, those mass mobilizations in March and also May Day 2006 are the largest demonstrations in not just immigrant rights, but largest demonstrations in protest in the history of the United States, which to some extent is quite shocking when you consider how little attention they get nowadays, nearly 20 years later, right? I mean, even in a city like LA, where we have a flagship paper, there's very little time spent on discussing this kind of history and far more time spent on, I don't even know what the LA Times is looking at nowadays. But I think it's so key to hone in on what has changed since, say, 2006, when we discussed immigration then, versus what it looks like today in 2024. In more respects than not, I would argue, we are at just about the same place we were nearly two decades ago. That can be discouraging, but in other respects, we have more elected officials from immigrant communities today than ever in the history of the United States, at least since the 1965 Naturalization Act, which really opened the doors to Asian American and also Latin American migration to the United States, which continues transforming, which continues reverberating across communities well into this day. And so when it comes to March, I got to give a shout out to March 2006 in the city of LA and to all the organizers who led and put their bodies on the line and really let the whole world know that Los Angeles, like the United States, is a nation of every last creed and color you can think of, that it belongs to all of us, and that we can't stop and won't stop calling for equity and justice and fair representation when it comes to our communities. And so with respect to that, I'm actually republishing a bit of audio coverage from 2006 of these various demonstrations so that you can tune in a little bit to what the rhetoric was like then and what even the political positioning was like then. At that point, at least here in Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa was mayor of Los Angeles, and he had quite a few interesting words when it came to addressing these protests, something you might not quite expect from a man such as himself, who's supposed to have come from LA's East Side and who is really supposed to embody the American dream. That is, in terms of being the child of immigrants and going on to become LA's first Latino mayor in, I don't know, a century or so. And when you place that in a perspective into what the discussion on immigration looks like today with someone such as Mayor Karen Bass, you can see that there have been some incremental gains in our position and in our rhetoric or our framing of who immigrants are and what they actually bring to cities like Los Angeles, but how there's still just a lot more work to be done and a lot of ground to cover. Nonetheless, I hope that for the next generation of organizers and protesters and aspiring organizers or those who mean to protest and stand for their communities, be they for Palestinian or Middle Eastern and North African communities more recently, or for African American communities who were the main focus of redlining policies in cities like Los Angeles, wherever you may be and wherever you may be seeking to organize from, I do think that it's important to take a glance back at the past and see how folks have put these kinds of events or actions together before, so as to inform yourself and the communities that you mean to uplift with your work in the present day and into the future. So with that said, enjoy a little bit of this audio, which I definitely borrowed from the KRC or Korean Resource Center right here in Los Angeles, on the protest year that was 2006, both in the month of March as well as in May 2006, for immigrants and their right to belong in the United States, be it in LA or Chicago or New York or wherever they may be. And until the very next time, stay vigilant and stay tuned. It's J. T. out with more soon.
Back to the coast-to-coast marches and boycotts by illegal immigrants and their supporters. The big question, will it help or hurt the cause? Pedro Sefcec is the main anchorman for NBC's Spanish language network Telemundo. Pedro, glad you're with us today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What do you think is most important to the people who are taking part in today's events?
Basically, they're putting pressure on our democracy, doing these big rallies in a peaceful way, and people are looking forward to the possibility of some kind of legalization for the undocumented people. That's basically the platform, and I think it's going to help the cause. If answering the question that you posed before, I think it's going to help the question, because if the politicians don't pay attention, somebody's going to be in big trouble, either Democrats or Republicans. The ones that are against this process will suffer in the next elections.
Pedro, 70% of the people watching us and emailing say that illegal immigrants should be arrested at these rallies. How worried are the people there that that might happen?
Can you imagine arresting a million people? That's basically the answer. It's going to be like weeks before, at least a million people in 20, 25 cities around the country. And the answer is not arresting them unless the people that are suggesting that will lend their houses to put those people behind the bars or in the bathrooms until some kind of process is organized to deport them. Can you imagine something like that? It would be ridiculous.
It would be pretty significant and obviously difficult to enforce. Where do you see this heading from here?
Well, the problem is going to be in the House. I think in the Senate there's some kind of consensus to approve something that includes stronger enforcement, a guest worker program, and then some way of legalizing at least the people that has been here for a while. The problem is going to be in the House, where the positions are a lot stronger against the illegal immigration. But remember, 20 years ago, Simpson Mazzoli entered history as a bill that, you know, an amnesty that permit like at least 4 or 5 million people to legalize their situations. So there's a precedent for that, and this is a country of precedents.
Pedro, how prepared do you think these immigrants are to actually get some coaching and become political activists now to try to lobby for their cause?
It's very interesting because it's going to be, you know, very hard down the road. But at this point, spontaneously, a lot of people are mobilizing in different situations, taking aside their obligations and putting a lot of time and effort in this situation. It's the best way to embrace this big country that has, you know, been an open arms country for more than 200 years to every people. Today I listened to our colleague Pat Buchanan from the big tribe of the Navajos, because apparently he was talking like he's the owner of this country. And the reality is, if you take aside the Native Americans, everybody's an immigrant in some way or another.
All right, we're going to have to let that be the final word. Telemundo's Pedro Sevcek, glad you were with us today.
Thank you.
Up next, the first
farther west. In a couple of hours, protests begin in what may be the epicenter of the immigration debate, Los Angeles. Let's bring in NBC's Jennifer London to give us a feel for what's going on there. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Natalie. We're in downtown Los Angeles, across the street from City Hall. And as we await the start of today's march, there is a sense of excitement in the air, also a mixture of anticipation and even a little anxiety. This as the city braces for hundreds of thousands of pro-immigration activists to take to the street later today. And if we look over my shoulder, this is Spring Street, right across from City Hall, as I mentioned. About 10 minutes ago, they did close down this street. And we can see they're busy working on building a platform. There are a lot of city workers right now. There is one local labor union group across the street. They've been busy setting up their tents and setting up their banners. They are calling for equality and justice for all. All weekend long, city officials here in Los Angeles have been calling for peaceful demonstrations. LA's Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is reportedly not planning on participating in any of today's activities. His staff says he plans to monitor the demonstrations and the marches from his office in City Hall. In addition to urging students to stay in school today, the mayor also has a message for the marchers.
If you're going to wave a flag, that you should wave the American flag. The American flag is the flag of our nation. It's the flag of the country that we all are proud of and want to be a part of.
In just about 2 hours, we are expecting the march towards City Hall to get underway. That will be followed by a rally on the steps of City Hall. And then about an hour after that, the marchers will begin their demonstration, their march through the streets of downtown Los Angeles. It will take them on a route that goes right through the central part of the city's economic diversity. And a lot of the businesses along the marching route will be closed today. They have already closed, actually. A lot of the business owners say they are closing in part because they want to show solidarity for their workers, but also some say they do have fears about vandalism and possible violence. Now, at this point, Natalie, we have no reason to believe the protests will be anything but peaceful, but the Los Angeles Police Department is working very closely with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. They say they want to be ready for anything, because if you consider last month when they had the historic march in downtown Los Angeles, they say there could be as many as 500,000 people gathering here today.
All right, and we will be watching for that. Jennifer London there for us in Los Angeles. Thanks, Jennifer. And our question now to downtown Los Angeles, where the largest rally of the day is expected to culminate at City Hall. That's where Jennifer London joins us right now. Jennifer.
Well, hi there. We are in downtown Los Angeles. City Hall is just behind my shoulder. And about an hour and a half ago, they closed Spring Street. You can see there is a lot of activity going on as they prepare for what may turn out to be hundreds of thousands of pro-immigration activists gathering at City Hall later this afternoon. We've seen them putting up police barricades, and they've been erecting this platform for one of the local labor union groups, the local 585 out of Ventura, California. Earlier today, I spoke with one of the representatives, and I asked the obvious question, why are you here today? And he says that they represent about 1,200 workers in the construction industry. Many are undocumented. And he said today is really a wake-up call. He wants to awaken America to the problems that many undocumented workers face. He says there are 11 to 12 million undocumented workers in this country. He says they need a legal path to citizenship, and they hope that that will be part of what comes about as a result of today's marches and protests, that people will really get a sense of what these undocumented workers face. That being said, we've got a small crowd that's starting to gather outside of City Hall. About 14 blocks to the south of me, we understand that thousands of marchers have already gathered. They're going to start making their way slowly towards City Hall. Again, they are predicting as many as 500,000 people could ultimately gather outside of City Hall. From there, the marchers will proceed down another route, Wilshire Boulevard. That will take them through a very central part of the city's ethnic diversity. A lot of the businesses along that route have been closed for the day. The shop owners say it's part of a show of solidarity for the workers, but others say, you know what, with this many people taking to the streets, they are worried about possible vandalism and possible violence. The Los Angeles Police Department is working very closely with the Sheriff's Department. They say they want to be prepared for anything. And that is the latest from Los Angeles. We will be out here all day keeping an eye on what happens as the marchers make their way toward City Hall.
Jennifer London in Los Angeles. Thank you, Jennifer. Welcome, everybody. Beautiful day. Thank you for being here. I know, you know, you have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's my pleasure to be here with you.
And look at this.
Hey, look at that, we match.
Oh,
indeed.
How cute.
Mike Jerrick is not boycotting the program. He is on vacation this week. But it is, nonetheless, today, Primero de Mayo.
Yes, we've got Team Fox coverage of A Day Without Immigrants. Immigrants boycotting the United States economy by staying away from their jobs, staying away from schools, not going out and buying. Fox's William Lajeunesse is live in Los Angeles, where the biggest demonstration is taking place today. William?
Well, Juliet, out here they're calling it Nothing Gringo Day. That is, that people are not supposed to buy or do anything American. Of course, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Back in 1986, when the first and one-time amnesty was offered, that was supposed to end illegal immigration. As you can see from the live pictures that we have right now, that didn't happen. In essence, you've got 20 years of government neglect and, of course, contradictory laws. On one hand, we discourage illegals from coming here, but once they get here, we encourage them to stay. For instance, look at the border. We're spending billions there on manpower and technology to stop people. Nevertheless, police, once an illegal get here, can't even ask them their legal status. Employers hire them without penalty. Day labor centers are sometimes government mandated here in California, and the IRS will give someone a tax ID number even if they are here illegally. That is why organizers say government owes them legalization, and 70% of Americans support some type of legalization for those already here.
There may be some exceptions, but again, the polls clearly say that the majority of the American public support legalization and see our demonstrations with respect and also honor.
Many are taking the day off. Some businesses had to close because their workforce is so largely illegal they had no choice. Others are closing in sympathy with them. However, the big concern right now is the ports of LA and Long Beach. Independent truckers are threatening to close those ports. That would cause a huge problem and economically paralyze much of Southern California.
Or to put it very bluntly, if you snapped your fingers and all the undocumented disappeared, Los Angeles economy would grind to a halt in the proverbial New York minute.
Now, police say if truckers try to do that, they will tow the trucks and impound them for 30 days. Largely, they're expecting this to be a peaceful march and demonstration, if you will. It is supposed to end up here about 2 o'clock West Coast time, and then there'll be another march starting down Wilshire, Juliet, later in the day, and that's the one that the mayor and the cardinal here are hoping that students will go to, trying to keep them in school for the time being. Back to you.
William Lajeunesse, thanks.
Yep. Meanwhile, Houston.
Immigrants march while a city stands still. Organizers warn today's rallies and boycotts will paralyze Los Angeles. CNN's Jen Rogers is there. Jen?
Well, Kara, right now where we are, it is not paralyzed at this point. We're at City Hall, but 9 blocks away from here, it is a completely different story, and that is the starting point for the protest that is supposed to end here in just a few hours. Down at the starting point, we have seen people in the white shirts that they've been requested to wear, waving flags. We're seeing them stream through the downtown streets here, heading to that starting point. The organizers of this march and this protesters were also behind the protest at the end of March. They had about 500,000 protesters then. They say that they are expecting that number again, maybe even a number above that. The organizers are calling for immigrants to boycott work, to boycott school, and not to buy anything today. Some of the people that I've talked to on their way down to the starting point say that they are following those rules so far. There is another march, though, that is expected to possibly be even bigger, and that is because it is at 4 p.m. today, and those organizers are not calling for a boycott of work or school. The mayor has asked for people to stay in school and go to the second march instead. That one starting at 4 p.m. local time. Again, some people expecting for that one to be even bigger than the crowd we are expecting to see here shortly. Kara?
What more has the mayor said? He's supporting one, but not another.
You know, he is here at City Hall, we are told by a press aide. He will be monitoring the events of the one here at City Hall in terms of public safety and traffic. But he has really said stay in school, that that is a big issue for him. He came out on that during the last round of protests as well. The mayor actually has on his schedule to be in Dallas this evening for an NFL owners meeting, trying to get professional football back here in Los Angeles. He has supported immigrant rights in the past. But again, not planning on making an appearance at the City Hall rally. Possibly, we are told, he could be on the docket for the afternoon rally, but that is not a sure bet either. Kara?
All right, Jen Rogers, thanks so much. Well, the wave heads west. It's lunchtime in California and go time for a monumental rally for immigrant rights. CNN's Jen Rogers once again live in Los Angeles. Jen?
Well, Kara, the crowds keep coming here to City Hall. That is one thing for sure. We have seen definitely tens of thousands of people. We do not have exact crowd estimates at all by now, but organizers were hoping to at least match the 500,000 figure that they had back in March. Now, the organizers for this protest, which is just one of two major protests that are going on in Los Angeles today, have called for a boycott of work, of school, and of buying anything, really to flex the immigrant muscle to show how important they are to the economy. Now, one person that is following that boycott is Giovanna Gomez. She actually is not going to school today. Tell me why you decided to come here today.
I think it's really important to show how much we contribute to the economy. It's very, very important because it was just how badly we really affect it, and we need to show that to everybody, to politicians. We need to show it.
Now, you marched the 9 blocks up here to City Hall. What was it like in the crowd? Has it been peaceful? What are people saying?
It's very peaceful, and I thought it was pretty amazing. I actually got chills at one point just seeing how united everybody came here, like how they got. And it's just pretty amazing. It was very, very peaceful. Everyone's just supporting, and it's great. It's been great.
Do you think it's going to make any difference?
I am hoping. I think we could show. I think it's going to make an impact just to show, you know, if hopefully enough people do actually boycott. I think that's very important for us to boycott, not to buy absolutely anything, you know, not going to school, not selling anything. I think that shows how united we are, and it shows how much we're really contributing. I'm hoping. I honestly don't know if it'll get to them. I don't know if it will make a difference, but I'm hoping, and that's why we're here, to try.
Now, the mayor, whose office is right here in this building, has said to students to stay in school today, to go to the later protest. Are you afraid you're going to get in trouble at all? Is this something you're worried about?
No, not really. I thought it was important to miss school. You know, it's the same thing. It's a boycott. You're boycotting. We're making them lose money. Not that I'm wanting to necessarily, but I think it's very important. We're going to show. So, no, I'm not worried.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate your talking to us. Kira, that is just one voice from the many that are coming here to City Hall in Los Angeles. Kira?
Jen Rogers, thanks so much. Straight to Tony Harris. Now let's get straight to Tony Harris. Working actually, yep. right off this subject.
Right
matter.
Off this subject. Yeah, absolutely, Kira. Julie Rodriguez is with us, and she's with the United Farm Workers Union. She's involved in the protest in Los Angeles. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Julie, first of all, did you ask workers within your union not to work today?
Well, no, we wanted to respect the workers themselves and ensure that they weren't jeopardizing their own position and own status at the company. But as I think was previously mentioned on this newscast, that across the state of California, the fresh fruit and vegetable harvest has come to a halt. It's literally shut down today from the strawberry and lettuce fields in the Salinas Valley, all the way to the table grape and carrot industries in the Central Valley, and to, of course, the luscious wine grapes up in Sonoma County. Work has come to a halt because the farm workers are in solidarity with today's actions and in demonstrating justice for immigrants.
The members of your union, are we talking about all legal citizens? Legal? Are we talking about a mix of folks who are here legally and illegally?
There is a mixture of both documented and undocumented workers that work in the agricultural industry. And today, you know, tens of thousands of farm workers aren't working today, and instead they're joining in nonviolent marches and vigils and rallies organized by the United Farm Workers across the state of California. And so I think that, you know, those that are undocumented obviously see the impact directly of legislation that's currently before us. And those that do have their documentation are working in solidarity because they understand the difficulties and some of the hardships of undocumented workers.
So, Julie, what is the position of the union with respect to undocumented workers?
Well, the union believes that if farm workers are here and they're working in our fields, that they deserve basic human rights, they deserve basic labor rights and legal rights. And so that's our position on undocumented workers, is that if they're working in our fields, then they deserve to be protected like any other worker, like any other human being.
Isn't there sort of by definition then a natural split within the union when you're talking about those who are here legally and those who are here undocumented, as you put it?
No, actually, you know, as the UFW has for years, it's fought for issues that the workers are concerned about, issues like education, like health care, like pension plans, like higher wages. Those are the rallying points for our workers. It's really about the workplace issues because all of them are working together. You know, they're working in the same fields. They're working side by side one another. And they believe that they deserve, you know, better, more fair, more just treatment. And so that's really where our issues lie.
Couldn't your legal migrants and immigrants, couldn't your legal immigrants get a higher wage if they weren't in competition with those who are here illegally?
Well, I think that, you know, unfortunately, folks had claimed that undocumented workers and undocumented immigrants are driving wages down. And I think that, you know, I think that there are other factors at play. When the agricultural industry is willing to pay workers no more than, you know, what they feel like they can to make a certain profit, then they're willing to do that at any cost. And so I think, unfortunately, as oftentimes is the case, we're blaming the victim here rather than really looking at enforcement and ensuring that our workers are treated with dignity and with respect. They're contributing a tremendous amount, not just here in California to the Californian economy, but throughout the country. And I think today is witness of really the impact and the power of immigrants.
Oh, so much more to say, so much more to ask you, Julie. But thanks for your time. Julie Rodriguez with the United Farm Workers Union, who was involved in the demonstration in Los Angeles, Kira.
All right. Tony Harris, thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks so much. You know, immigrant rights activism is a family tradition for my next guest. Christine Chavez is the granddaughter of legendary labor leader Cesar Chavez. She's also running for the seat in the California Assembly. This is the second time we've had the chance to have her on the show. Christine, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. No, thank you for inviting me back.
you have been funneling in information to us. Actually, I've been using it within the past hour, coming from the United Farm Workers Union. Tell me where you have been today and what you've been tracking with regard to these farmers and how it's affecting the agriculture industry up to this point.
Yeah, we got reports from a number of our field offices all the way down as far as the Imperial Valley, which borders Mexico, and then all the way up to the Napa vineyards. We're getting reports that in the fruit and vegetables, the workers have walked out and have joined the United Farm Workers at massive protests. And so as we know it, the agricultural in this state has come to a halt. There are nobody picking fruits and vegetables right now.
So what do you think about what is taking place today? Is this the way to go? Should it be done through a boycott? Should it be done through not showing up to work, not going to school, and making these types of efforts?
Well, I was just at, I live in East Los Angeles, and driving through the community of East Los Angeles this morning, there was businesses shut. Even a Jack in the Box said, due to staffing problems, we are closed today. And then we joined the city of Maywood out in the southeast area of Los Angeles with thousands and thousands of people from all the southeast areas coming together. And it was so inspiring to see people marching just the way that Dr. King and Cesar Chavez do, marching nonviolently for one single common cause. It's very inspiring. You saw mothers there with their small children. You saw, hundreds of just thousands of people out there marching, all for the same cause.
We've been getting a lot of emails, Christine, a lot of angry emails. One coming from Las Vegas, Nevada. Melfina said, my aunt has been waiting for almost 11 years to become an immigrant legally. These protesters think they can become legal by abandoning their jobs, endangering our economy, and insulting the hardworking middle class. What do you think about these people that are extremely angry about what the illegal immigrants and the immigrants are doing today?
Well, we're also extremely upset about bills like H.R. 4437 that look to penalize, people who are just here to work. And so one of the things we've done at the United Farm Workers is we're trying to put farm workers on a path towards earned legalization. You have to remember that farm workers they feed this nation, and it is important for them to come out of the shadows and be a part of society. And this is one day where we're all getting together saying enough is enough. We would like to have earned legalization.
What do you think your grandfather would think of all this? I know that growing up, the only way that you really had a chance to spend time with your grandfather was to go to the protests and be a part of these protests with him. As he looks down on what's happening today, what do you think that he would say?
He would be so proud. And there's a quote that he used to say. He used to say, we don't need perfect political systems, but we need perfect participation. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. Whether people chose to boycott or chose to go to work, because there was some people that could not do that. And everybody has to respect that also. But we're asking people to come and participate after work and just to have a day of action. Educate your neighbors about it. If you're in school, educate other students about that. But really talk about H.R. 4437 and speak out against that. So I think my grandfather would be on the forefront of all of these activities and is very proud to see everybody marching just the way he did nonviolently.
Well, Christine, what do you think about President Vicente Fox and what's happening in Mexico? And we're focusing so much on the protests here, but what about the corruption in Mexico? What about making life better for the men and women there so this isn't so much of an issue?
No, there definitely needs to be, some changes in Mexico. But right now, what we're focused on are the people that are working here in this country and making sure that they're given all the opportunities that everybody else has in the United States. And I think that with these marches and these protests, we're definitely going to see a broken immigration system be put in the forefront of everybody's living rooms. And everybody's going to continue to talk about this issue until we see this system work.
Christine Chavez, always good to talk to you. Appreciate you joining us again today.
Thank you.
Well, they were enemies in Iraq.
In the so-called Day Without Immigrants protests here in the United States today, many demonstrators marched through the streets of Los Angeles to their city hall. Joining us now is the mayor of L.A., Antonio Villaraigosa. Mr. Mayor, thanks very much for coming in. Was this a good idea to organize these demonstrations and these boycotts today?
What I've said is on that issue is that participating in a boycott is a personal decision. I didn't oppose or argue for a boycott. And either way, what I did say was that I want kids to stay in school. We know that Many have stayed in school, but some are participating in today's march. I also said that there would be an opportunity later on in the day for young people to march, and we're hoping that that's what they'll do. You know, it's hard to tell. I can only say this, that these marches, that the tens of thousands of people, and we don't have an exact estimate, but we know that it's going to be a very, very large demonstration. We understand maybe the largest in the nation. What's clear is they're peaceful. What's clear is that they're celebratory in their mood, their families, children, grandparents. It's a very positive environment. I, of course, have spent most of my time with the Emergency Operations Center to ensure that we're managing this number of people, although we expect it to continue to be peaceful. There's obviously a lot of things that could happen when you have so many people concentrated in such a small area.
Mr. Mayor, has there been any problems yet, any demonstrations getting violent, any incidents?
No. In fact, we just had an update about an hour and a half ago of our Emergency Operations Center. It was reported that there have been no incidents, no arrests, one injury, somebody tripped while walking. Other than that, things have been very, very peaceful, very positive. And I'm happy to say that the vast majority of people have American flags, as they should, and that people are very, very positive about the American dream.
Should they not carry Mexican flags?
Well, I've said from the beginning, look, we live here in the United States of America. I was born and raised here. If you want to be part of this nation, an American flag is appropriate. And, you know, the other flags that people may fly are certainly an indication of their, yearning for the old country. But, it's important for us to demonstrate that we want to be part of the American dream.
What did you think of this controversy that erupted in recent days over the translation of the Star Spangled Banner into Spanish? What was your take on that?
Wolf, let me just say to you, let me make it absolutely clear, I was offended. I was offended because for me, the national anthem is something that I believe deserves respect. I think that without question, that the vast majority of people in the United States of America were offended as well. We want, our anthem should be sung in English. The Spanish and Mexican anthems should be sung in Spanish. The French anthem in French. So I was offended by it, and I think most people were. And remember, very few people bought into that. It really was a non-issue, but I think it was important to dismiss it as quickly as possible.
A lot of us were concerned when we heard last week, Mr. Mayor, that there had been death threats against you and the Lieutenant Governor of California, Cruz Bustamante. Where does that stand right now? Is it indicative of a bigger problem that has erupted here, growing out of this whole battle over immigration reform?
I hope not. And first of all, let me make something absolutely clear, Wolf. The FBI looked into that threat. There's nothing to it. There have been others in the past, I'll admit, but I can tell you this, that with a job of mayor or a governor, you're going to get that kind of thing from time to time. I don't let it bother me. I have a great security team that's with me at all times. I can tell you this, my belief is that you call them like you see them. You stand by your convictions and your principles. And, you know, if people disagree with that, so be it.
Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California, your neighbor out in Orange County, he said this not that long ago. He said, over the years, it's been evident that the Democrats exploit illegal immigrants for political reasons. Granting amnesty will only serve to draw more illegal aliens to our country and add to the burden placed on our public school system, health care system, and criminal justice system. On the specific issue of amnesty, a lot of the protesters today want amnesty for the 10-12 million illegal immigrants in this country. Where do you stand on the issue of allowing these people to live here legally and eventually become citizens?
First, let me just say that Dana Rohrabacher is a friend of mine. I have a lot of respect for him. We don't agree on every issue. In fact, we don't often agree on many issues, but he's a good person. I disagree with that idea, though. Where the idea that somehow all of these people are asking for amnesty, what they're asking for is a fair and sensible bipartisan immigration reform that secures our borders, that enforces our laws, that holds people accountable for the consequences of breaking the law by fining them, that says that employer sanctions should be levied on employers who hire the undocumented, but that there should also be a pathway for citizenship if you play by the rules and pay your taxes and have not gotten involved with the law. So, you know, look, people are going to say what they're going to say. Unfortunately, some like to polarize. I don't think that's something endemic to any party. I think, unfortunately, there are a lot of demagogues out there, and they like whipping it up.
The mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, I know it's been a busy day for you. Thanks for spending a few moments here in the Situation Room.
Thank you, Wolf.
And let's get another perspective. In Los Angeles, Chris Lawrence is there. Chris?
Well, Wolf, hundreds of thousands of people continue to march through the streets of Los Angeles right now, chanting Unidos Estamos and Si Se Puede, United We Stand, We Can Do It. And what we're seeing now is some of the organizers starting to say they're going to look beyond today's boycott to the actual ballot box. Markets bustling with business on Friday empty out during Monday's boycott, and millions of marchers rally across America. But organizers are already looking to the next step.
Today's movement translates into augmented voter power and voter conscientiousness and a voting block.
That last part won't be easy. Different groups, different priorities. Some want the government to legalize undocumented immigrants. But some Asian Americans say it first needs to ease the backlog on family visas for those who emigrated here legally.
Because there's not enough resources for services, people are waiting a long time.
Eunsuk Lee says she knows families who have lost decades.
Would you wait 20 years to bring your daughter to the country? Wouldn't you find any other means?
Politically, some see a growing sophistication in the immigrant rights movement, such as replacing Mexican flags from earlier rallies with American flags.
Here in California, Latinos decided to become an active political force.
Political analyst Alan Hoffenblum says Republicans controlled the state legislature 12 years ago, but they lost it after taking a shrill stance on immigration rights.
So I warn my Republican allies nationwide, better be careful. Look here what happens in California. They lost every legislative seat in California that had a predominant or a significant Latino population. Because Republicans perceived to be an anti-Mexican, anti-immigrant, the Latinos ceased to vote for them.
Some of the organizers had urged students to boycott school today. LA's mayor and other leaders warned them not to. We've learned that about 72,000 students in grades 6 through 12 did not show up for school today. That means more than one quarter missed class. Wolf.
Chris Lawrence in LA, thank you. Still to come.
Now, by going to the marches, people stayed away from work and school, and in Los Angeles alone, 72,000 middle and high school students skipped class today. That's about roughly 25% of the student body population. Right now, let's go straight back to LA, where that massive rally has inundated the downtown streets around City Hall. Chris Lawrence has the very latest for us right now. Chris?
Paula, there were two major rallies here today. The first one brought tens of thousands of people right here to City Hall. Take a look behind me. This is what's left of it. The LAPD came in here just about 30 minutes ago and literally moved tens of thousands of people out of the area peacefully, I should add. Most of them have made their way to the other rally here along the Wilshire Avenue corridor. We'll take you a look now for a live look at that from an aerial viewpoint. You can see just the incredible crowds of people that showed up here today. As you mentioned earlier, about 72,000 students did not show up at school today. That came because organizers had urged them to boycott school, even while LA's mayor and other leaders warned them that they should show up. Obviously, in this case, the organizers' viewpoint won out.
It's Jimbo times.